This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Kia ora and welcome to Free Left Turn here on Free FM 89.0. We are we bring a show from a left wing perspective. To my right is Fred.
Good morning.
In front of me is Mick.
And good morning.
And I'm Craig. Kia ora.
Right.
Survived that.
So how are we on this dank, moist
survived
day?
Survived it, I'd say.
It's pretty
wet.
It's not very pleasant out there.
No.
It would be what you'd call traditional field days weather.
Mm. Moist.
Yeah, and last year we didn't. Last year we had quite a nice field days, but this year is back to
normal.
Back to I remember years ago it was pretty normal to have field days like this.
It was wet.
And notice raining. The fog this morning. It's actually got quite a lot of rain in it. It's
I don't think it's much so much rain. It's just heavy moisture droplets.
Yeah, it's quite wet out there. I can see it falling.
So it's not so much rain. It's just a really heavy fog that's laden with moisture.
So anyway, so that'll slow down the planes going in and out of the airport.
And the choppers.
I don't think they'll be allowed. Keen to fly.
Not till they get clear.
There's got to be certain clearance rules, don't they?
Yeah.
Otherwise, there's problems.
Oh dear, what a shame. It means it might be a quiet afternoon.
Yeah, it's meant to clear, but it's not looking like it's going to clear. And let's face it, sometimes this weather can stay all day.
We can just sit.
Everybody feels miserable about it.
But it is blue sky and terror, according to my mother.
I'm glad someone's happy.
Yes.
Well, in this week, apart from the field days, a lot has happened.
Yes. Iran, Israel.
It really started off with the seizure of the Madeleine.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's been an awful week for anyone in the Middle East, again.
Terrible.
Caused by, we know who it's tend to be caused by.
Yeah.
And there are issues of self-defence. Freedom for some.
So I think we can start off with that. The Madeleine was a boat, was a humanitarian boat with 12. Well, they said they're activists, but 12 peace people. Trying to bring humanitarian aid to the people of Gaza.
Well, to be fair, it was also for publicity. Let's face it. The boat was loaded up, and they were trying to break the siege. That's their goal. But they're also doing it so they'd raise attention.
Yeah, that was right.
To the issue.
When they talked about it, I thought they're never going to get through.
No, they would have known that.
That was the intent. But I see that the people involved got another ship being prepared.
Yeah, they're going to keep doing them and just keep trying because it does highlight the issue.
Yeah, and I think one off boats or one off two or three is probably not enough to break the siege.
They were lucky this time around because was there 2 years ago they got sunk or badly damaged?
Well, 10 years ago they killed some people trying to break the siege.
That's the one I'm thinking of. So they were lucky that they were just picked up. Arrested and then deported. Yeah.
Not all of them have been.
No. Some still.
I think there were four that were deported. Greta Thunberg was one of them, and she spoke the French. She was in France and she's speaking to the media there. But there are others still being detained.
Yeah. But there were. It's quite interesting. There's been. It was lovely to see that the number of people in Paris, etc., came out. To protest.
Because I think one of the people that had been picked up...
Carmen.
Is a member of the European Parliament.
She's still there. Because you can get out. Basically, they grab you. The Israeli Authority, we call them who they are, the Israeli authorities, grab you. And if you sign a paper, they'll basically kick you out straight away. But if you don't sign, you've got to go for their court process for.
Yeah, she's one of them.
You like sign a paper promising you're not going to come back.
I would say they used Greta. This would have been an in-house thing decision because they knew the chances of them being pulled up and being pulled up by it was going to happen. So they probably thought, well, Greta can go first because you will get the publicity when you're released out in Europe, etc. Which was true, that she got huge publicity about it. Where some of the others are just digging their heels and saying, nah, you'll have to well, you know, they're doing some of them are doing hunger protests and all that. Same thing, to raise attention to the plight of the Palestinians.
Because the governments that are all that would be involved.
And there's also at the same time there's also that in line with that there's also a trying to get a land march
through the Rafah crossing
through Egypt. But Egypt's been indifferent on it so far.
Oh, been very indifferent.
Yeah,
they called it a selfie yacht. That's how it was labelled by the
Israelis,
the Zionist state and the sycophantic Western media. So and then you had this moronic comment out from the United States where I hope that they can swim. I know who said that.
That was the guy Graham, wasn't it?
Yeah, he's a silly old moron. Yeah, so he said hope they will. Yeah, but I think he got castigated right through the.
Did he?
Through the social media stuff. Yeah,
social media, not the Western media. You know, the Western media has been very slow to pick up.
They're kind of doing a bend over job, aren't they? The Western media.
It is changing, but it's taken a long time. And tragically, how many thousands of Palestinians
have died? Have
died, and how many hundreds are killed each week? And when I say killed is the wrong word. You're lining up for food and you're shot.
Murder, isn't it? I think they've been murdering civilians since 1948.
And let's face it, I call it anyone who kills a civilian, is it killing or are you actually murdering them?
Especially
if they're defenceless.
Yeah. Well, and especially if there's a bullet through your forehead or your heart or something, that's hard to say that it was collateral.
That's almost execution, isn't it?
Not even that word.
And you've had reports from surgeons that have come back and say it's heartbreaking to see children that have had bullets.
Well, they've interviewed one through the head. Al Jazeera during the week, and the guy almost broke up because this is only one. He's talking about one girl. He said this is only one.
Yeah,
one. I think he called her.
I think the girl's name was Rachel or something. He said, but she's only one of many, countless.
Yeah.
Yes. So when they spoke, this is what I found interesting. Given that she's an environmentalist, environment activist, she spoke about the amount of carbon that's been produced by the continual bombing.
Absolutely.
The pollution is horrendous.
Yeah, she came on from that angle, which an angle which nobody else had actually mentioned.
Absolutely, and I've always thought that with the Ukraine-Russia thing. The pollution that's gone into the atmosphere and into the waters is huge. Every time you blow up a ship and it's on the sea, what happens? It's got pollution. The discharge from bombs, etc., is just
horrendous.
It's not often talked about.
Yeah, she mentioned it.
I like what she sort of implied or said. I can't quote it, but she basically implied, well, okay, because people the criticism is she's an environmentalist. Why isn't she just sticking with that? Never mind the politics. But she said. How can you be environmentalist?
Well, the two are linked.
When people are slaughtered.
Yeah,
yeah.
And it's all interlinked.
Of course it is. Yeah. So she's a credit to her. She used her public profile to keep the narrative alive.
Yeah, what she's done, yeah.
And there's others too. The guy from Game of Thrones.
Did he get released? I think it was. He's still held.
I'm not sure I don't know if he went or not, but he's been very good on the whole.
I think he was there. I did see.
He did mention the name. I can't remember the name.
Liam Cunningham.
Yeah.
I did see him.
He was an onion. Wasn't he a warrior at Game of Thrones? Wasn't he? That's where he made big fame.
He's he's an Irishman. Yeah. So that was one.
Yeah.
The other one that that needs to be mentioned is the belated sanctions against Gevir and Smotrich.
New Zealand, Australia, UK, Spain, Norway, and some.
Yeah.
They've mentioned our reserves, five countries, I think,
Put sanctions.
Sanctions against these two individuals.
Yeah. Some of us are a little bit cynical would say a little too late.
Well, and that's true. I'm on the butt stage because, let's face it, we all go, this needs to stop. And how do you actually get it to stop? You've actually got to accept people who have suddenly started to change. Because otherwise you just stick there. They weren't there from the beginning.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to question their motives.
Hard to stomach, but it's...
Yeah, because you can still question their motives at the moment. But I still think it's a move in the right direction. And more needs to be done. No more platitudes. We need action, like calling the Israeli ambassador in and saying, look,
Yeah, well, we know that the embassy is closed currently, yeah.
But isn't it interesting, right. Yesterday, or was it yesterday or the day before, they interviewed the Prime Minister at the field days, and he spoke quite, I thought he spoke reasonably well about the whole Israel-Palestine mm-hmm. thing, etc.
Yeah.
This was before the attack, which we'll go on to. But then they interviewed him again this morning, and you could tell he was, almost, he was fed up.
Trying to defend him.
He didn't come out and say it. He says, we just don't need this. We didn't need this to happen. And you could tell he was thinking, these guys are causing me so much grief.
Well, that sentiment needs to be built upon.
Yeah, of course it does. But I definitely felt the vibe that he just thought, why the heck did they do this for?
The sentiment should have been long.
Oh, it's long overdue.
We all agree with that.
But maybe the tide's turning, I don't know.
And that's how you've got to build it.
Not necessarily for the right reasons, but...
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah. But the General Assembly had an emergency meeting, and I think it was 156, I think it was something like that, voted for ceasefire.
Immediately, yeah.
Of course, it's non-binding in the General Assembly. Yeah. Then he had the Security Council, same old.
Yeah, because he got the morons from the administration, the moronic administration in the sycophants.
Yeah.
And there'll be dire consequences quite to these countries that have put these sanctions in place. That's what the messaging that you're getting out of the United States.
Well, look at Israel. I thought it was, it was needed to be said about these two guys because they had just, their actions are just awful and their words are awful and they have power. You know, if someone says awful words and they're just thing, but when you have an authority to order things or whatever that harm people, what they've said, these two guys are just an embarrassment for Israel. They're an embarrassment for
the world.
A, for Jews, because they wear their little, what do they call the hats that they have, the kippers they wear
on? Yarmulkes.
Yarmulkes, they wear that and then they come out with this dreadful sort of saying that. That is just an embarrassment. I'm not a Jew, but as a human being, it's embarrassing because they're promoting this hatred.
Yeah.
So they've upped the ante because the Israelis' banking system is now no longer cooperating with the Palestinians.
And that's under orders by Smoltrich, isn't it?
Yeah, the bar.
That has huge repercussions. Yeah. For the economy for the Palestinians. It's
not nice.
Yeah.
But I do think the world is shifting opinion.
But not the leaders.
Well, I sort of I was impressed with Luxon. I thought he looks like his sounding was, I'm over it. These guys, I can't defend them forever. You know?
Well, he could have got started a lot earlier than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, true.
And none of us.
But the fact he's now.
But you do have to encourage change.
Yeah, so.
Because I think I've told you guys about Mark Ruffalo, who's American. I think it was the Incredible Hulk or the Green Hulk or whatever.
Yeah, what it was.
And he's always been strongly pro-Palestinian and had a go at the Israelis. And at some stage he had a bit of a go and it wasn't strong enough for a lot of the pro-Palestinian people.
Mm.
And they gave him so much vitriol and a hard time. And I thought, and I actually said to people, don't give him a hard time. He generally supports everything 100%. This time he was a bit more indifferent on it. They gave him a hard time and I thought, that's foolish because he might have had 10 other actor friends that might have been prepared to come out and they've seen all you guys dump on him. Are they going to say anything? They're not. They're just going to pull their heads in.
Counterproductive.
Yeah. So you do have to encourage change. And I say, it is a hard one to swallow. But it's like politics. It's like we want people to get rid of this government. We have to accept that they might have previously voted National. You have to accept that.
But
encourage them to change, you know?
Yeah, but how long is since the 7th of October?
Oh, it's a long time. True. And they've had lots of fight, and they should have come out far earlier than that. And it's a disgrace to them, and they can live with that shame.
Yes, I agree with your point. They should have come out a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But the fact they're now maybe trying to...
Well, look at Phil Goff came out for a very good thing about America and all this, and it started off, the first one a week or two ago was about... couldn't help but mention October the 7th. This last one he came out, he didn't mention them. He just had a straight go at Israel and America,
Okay. That moves us on to what's going on currently.
Okay. Let's guess. Is Israel involved in the current mess as well?
Israel's involved and and their complicit partners involved.
Yeah.
In America.
Yeah.
Well, I think they're more than complicit. They're supplying the bloody arms in the first place. Yeah,
no, basically I'd suspect that there was a green light.
Nudge, wink.
After the 60 days over these... Over the nuclear discussion,
I've too heard some commentators saying it was just America acted as the ruse guy. They lulled the Iranians into thinking, oh, well, we're having talks, nothing will happen, etc. Yeah. And, of course, what do they use? They, while America saying, yep, we've got more talks to go on Monday, etc., Israel struck. You know?
Yeah, it's something to do with the 60 days.
And Trump said, America said, oh, we didn't know anything about it. But then Trump couldn't help himself, said, oh, well, what did they expect? You know, it was happening.
They knew.
But isn't it? It's just dirty. It's a deception, a ruse, which, to be fair, unfortunately is often used in military things. Look at Pearl Harbor, look at things that often people attack and then declare war.
Well, it's legitimate because it's war.
But it's still dirty. Dirty's dirty, you know.
War's war.
But I say, when you attack...
But even the guy from the International Atomic Agency was pleading with the participants... To pull back from escalating, because he's quite prepared to go in with teams to check these nuclear facilities and try and ensure that they're as protected as much as possible. He's almost pleading with the Security Council to give him the green light to go ahead. But
now, was it to basically stop in its tracks Iran's nuclear capability? It was.
Of course it was. Well, not just... actually, and the bigger... some of them are what I call guys, they're actually saying it wasn't... it was there to stop Iran's capability, but it was also there just to pull back. Iran and Russia and China have all started doing trade deals, etc. And Brian Beletic and others have all said this is actually also a go about keeping America's hegemony going. And Iran was the weakest link in it. And he said, by doing this, you're just chipping into the whole BRICS thing, the whole... attack on multipolarity.
This goes back to what Jeff is saying, that Iran's one of the plan that Israel...
it's always been a plan.
Yeah, Iran, Syria, Jordan, Lebanon.
Yeah.
They want them weak. They want them...
Well, they want failed states.
Failed states. So there'd be umo numero.
So that started.
But the repercussions, this escalates, is frightening, really.
Yeah, it is. You wonder if you wake up the next day, a nuclear bomb's been dropped.
Well, it might. Who knows?
Well, it might be an accident and the nuclear facility gets hit.
Yeah.
And you have an accident like Chernobyl or Three Mile Island.
Or radiation leaks.
That's the issue. That's a fear.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. But as I say, there's so many things wrong with it. Is that, did we need this?
No, we didn't.
It adds to Israel's shocking public relations image. It adds to the fuel of anti-Semitism.
I tend to feel that because during the Security Council they have the Israeli representative, and I can't stand.
I can't stand that.
It's all lies.
Yeah. So they haven't done. They're not doing a. No one. They're not. Apart from the people who are so waiting for the second coming, etc., and all this.
Armageddon.
Well, those idiots.
They're not winning themselves any friends.
I don't think they're worried because this is zealots. They believe they're going to go on to something better.
Yeah.
Well,
the rest of us will just burn in hell.
The Christians, the real, what I call the second comers, do. Yeah. But it's.
And they're dangerous because they believe in this Armageddon and they'll be all right because they'll be on the right hand side of God.
But the trouble is, as they destabilize Iran, let's face it, it's about keeping America's hedge money going, but it's also about getting a failed state. If they can destroy Iran's government, it's about regime change. And Iran has its problems.
We know, the problems go way back.
Of course they do.
And they've been created by the same bloody people.
Well, the same, yeah, and let's face it.
Outside influence.
America
yeah.
and Israel would love a Shah-type figure to emerge, and they go back to a suitcase of
good
money.
The good old days
where it's just a puppet regime and they're no trouble at all.
And we get access to the oil and more.
Yeah.
So it's the threat that Iran poses is because they don't play ball in, in the Western ideal of things.
Because they've been forced not to play ball.
You just have to
use 1953 as an example.
So what's going to be the aftermath of all this? Sure, and let's face it, I think we all have to be real. Israel is a very, very powerful militaristic country.
And I would say it was a rogue state.
Well, it does, but it has a huge supporter in America and in other leaders around the world.
It has a huge
technical advantage over Iran. Iran might have 50 million people. Israel's got 6 or 7 million Israeli Jews.
Well, you've got America backing them.
But it's also got the technology. It's like you're fighting someone. It's like the war
Gallipoli,
etc. You're attacking a machine gun post with a single shot rifle. You know, you're not going to do very well, even if there's 100 of you, you know?
Take a knife to a gun battle.
So Israel is extremely strong militarily. It has powerful friends that act as cover in the UN and everything else that block any sort of attempt to keep them calm. And so where does it go? Iran might survive it in its current form.
Or become a puppet state like Iraq.
Yeah, and that's what America would hope, that they'll implode and they'll have a semi-revolution and off it goes. But
then right sort of people will be put in charge and
they won't care if there's internal strife.
They won't care about the population.
Look at Iraq. Have they cared about Iraq?
No, they do the same thing with South America. They don't worry about the population.
They don't care what happens.
They've supported dictators who are brutal.
Yeah, so long as you've got a few men picking up suitcases of cash around the world.
Even going back to the days of Saddam Hussein, he was their bastard. Yeah. Until he decided to go rogue.
Yeah.
But they didn't bat an eyelid, the things he did to some of the
his own people.
And they've done that countless times with Americans involved.
So what would stop something like China secretly supplying Iran with sophisticated weaponry? To balance it out.
Well, I think there has been some of that going on, and Russia, etc. But, of course, Russia's got its own problems.
We know that,
in there. China has tried to stay, to their credit, has just tried to concentrate on peaceful trade. But that's the other signal. What is this signal to China and Russia? That no matter what, and they won't trust America, because look, America's meant to be doing talks with Iran how to solve the problem.
And they
just gave the green light for Israel to attack and kill people in Iran. What does China think? I wouldn't. You wouldn't want to do a deal with them, even if they shook hands, etc. You would be very nervous of the Americans' word.
What's the other scenario if the world comes to see it the way it is, and isolates both United States and Israel?
And that could gradually happen.
And what happens then?
Well, a wounded power, internal strife. You look at the Roman Empire, for example. Yeah. In the end, it was their internal strife.
And just imploded.
We know the Western Roman Empire collapsed. Yeah. We know all about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So that could well happen. Whether they would change leadership, and you get what you call a relatively peaceful transition to ordinariness.
You get the wrong elements taking power.
Well, exactly.
Power vacuum, and they all step in, and you've got.
Well, let's face it. Where does Trump appear from? Trump appeared from a very poor Democratic presidency, and just fuel to the fire. Donald Trump isn't an aberration. He got voted in. A second time. They already knew what he was like from the first time. But he still got voted in.
I got news for you? Had a joke about him, because apparently he's been declared the worst president for the last 80 years. He's even out-Trumped Trump. He's even worse than himself.
Mm. 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 Mm.
There are serious ramifications of this.
Well, this is what I've sort of notes about. What's the aftermath? Forget when the dust clouds and there'll be loss of life and they might bomb Iran back to the Dark Ages. They have the superiority to beat Iran militarily. But the aftermath is more destabilisation, failed states. America thrives on it, so the aftermath is there's far more money into the military industrial complex in America and around the world, because there's money in every bomb that goes off, there's money in it. But there's hatred and derision and disgust by victims and observers.
Yeah, when we are observers.
So, how are we meant to think of America? How are we meant to think of Israel? How are we meant to think of that? Because, you know, the America and Israel love making out the other America's like freedom of the free, you know, leader of the free world. Israel, we're the victim. But how are we meant to think about this? Has Israel actually attacked Iran? And it's not the first time they've done it.
They assassinated people previously.
So then also we have this sort of what I call this we're losing faith in democracy and democratic processes.
Yeah.
We have a UN, etc. Doesn't work. Doesn't stop it. We've seen the genocide going on in Gaza.
It's history repeating itself.
Yeah, reminds me that there's no repeat of that. Democracy may be on Al Jazeera, which is worth listening to.
Okay,
it's very sobering. It's been repeated, and some of it's been updated too.
Yeah.
People just a little bit how the League of Nations failed.
Yeah,
and this is just repeating itself.
And so the average Johnny goes rule of law, but actually it's rule of might, law of the jungle. We're just heading into that. That path where this is meant to be the rules, but if you've got enough power, enough wealth,
you can do what you like.
Do what you like, and that's always there's always been an element in that.
And then the impact on the environment from all this strife.
Well, the impact on the peasants, on the little people,
the people, the environment. No,
what starts things? What about the things start to crumble within the edifice of the United States? You know, like as you say, the Roman Empire.
Yeah.
What happens then?
Yeah,
like then the populist, when Rome basically collapsed at around about 476 or around about that time, the what we call the Gauls and the Visigoths and all these sort of so called barbarian types.
That all grows because we come back to fiefdoms.
Yeah, and so what happens when that crumbles in the United States? What happens to Israel's left standing alone by itself?
Well, and okay, yeah.
Mm.
And
what happens then?
Well, I think they'll implode with their own issues amongst themselves.
Mm. They'll be a bit stupid.
Not out of decency, but out of their just own issues.
You don't think the Israelis would be stupid enough to use an atomic bomb?
Well, yes, I do. I really do. Sadly, I think you get these guys that say that they should be wiped out, women, limited, children and babies.
So-called limited nuclear war.
So and not all Israelis are doing it by any means, but we've heard those comments at the start of the October the 7th tragedy, atrocity, and then of course the after that we heard all these things that they should be wiped out, bring back Amalek, you know, it was awful stuff. So you give someone a power and they've got their finger on the trigger of a button, it could happen.
Yes.
You know, it's all very well saying, oh, you know, we don't want North Korea to have the atomic bomb. We don't want Iran to have the atomic bomb. They've already got some nut jobs who've got got access to the atomic bombs.
Yeah, it depends how bad the nut job is.
Well, that's the danger.
Yeah. Well, if you up the ante so much, then it only takes one rogue individual and you've got no nuclear war.
Well, we could have.
An accident, you know.
Yeah, or just a dirty war where one bomb goes off somewhere and it does kill. It'll probably, sadly, it'll kill people.
It'll be civilians
and
who pay the price.
Chances are it'll be innocents that are getting it. Just, you know.
Yeah.
But I say it will affect the world. You have radiation. Look at Chernobyl. That was an accident.
You
know, you have areas that suddenly have high radiation everywhere. You have sickness and disease and
definitely,
you know, it's awful. We're closer and closer. As Jeffrey Sachs says, you know, we're very close to midnight on the
atomic clock.
So there's big problems out there.
Which have not been helped by the antics of certain countries.
Two in particular.
Yes.
And I think the world is, you know,
in a dangerous place.
It's we're in the time of monsters, to be fair. But I was a little bit hopeful after I heard Luxon speak the last couple of days. Not about the whole situation in the Middle East, but at least he could. I felt that he was getting sick of it, and getting sick of defending Israel.
Defended the undefensible.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Well, I think the tax also should go to be directed at the United States as well. So.
Yeah.
Well, of course you should.
Yeah.
And I kept just going on to that.
Yeah.
This weekend, of course, is we've got Trump's military parade.
Oh.
That's going to be. It's going to be on Saturday, American time, at 14th of June. Well, so it'll be Sunday.
I think a lot of what we call fair-minded U.S. citizens are praying for rain.
Well, there's actually more to it than that because. They've organised in America, they've organised what they call No King's Day protests. And they've already got 1,800 different groups cities have signed up.
So what's this military parade for?
Well, it's Bloody Birthday.
No, it's not. It's actually, officially, it's to celebrate 250 years of the American Army.
Yeah, but it's used as a ruse for
celebrating the American War.
No, since the American Army was formed.
Yeah. Right.
Right, so that includes killing Indians and
undesirable people
in Vietnam, you know, where else would do Latin America.
Oh, I can just see him on the podium.
Yeah.
But it almost wearing a tote, no, purple.
Yeah, yeah.
Coincides with his birthday.
Yeah, that's right.
Oh, really?
Oh. Yeah. So they're going to spend $40 million, which isn't a lot, because don't forget...
not for him.
Oh, wasteful spending.
It's going to come out of poor taxpayers.
But he's always wanted to parade. Oh. And we've heard this before because he wanted. I think they had a parade last time.
He's got an ego the size of the planet.
Yeah, and he's jealous of the French have a parade occasionally,
the Chinese.
Yeah, you know the Russians have.
They all have military parades.
Yeah, and I think Trump said he'd like to have it. This is what's behind it.
Yeah, so that's something he should have.
But in counter to that,
glorifying Trump, hail Trump.
They've come up with this idea of. No King's Day.
Yeah, that's the
And this is the counter. And there's already 1,800 cities and towns have said they're going to come out and protest.
Wow.
And the No King's Day. And what's behind it is it's about Trump and his team overstepping their authority.
Yeah.
And
well, we're talking about overstepping. You've had riots in Los Angeles.
Oh, exactly.
In New York.
Yeah.
Yep.
So that just
picking up. What is it deemed as undesirable immigrants, and there's an awful lot of innocents have been picked up in those
ICE raids.
Yeah. So that will help. This No King's Day. You watch on Sunday. This could be interesting because I imagine they'll get millions out in the street, and that will give us an idea. Mm. If they don't, will mean that Trump still got support.
But the way America's been tearing itself apart over the last few days in Los Angeles and New York.
Yeah.
This seems to be a groundswell of anti-Trump sentiment.
Well, I think they're starting to really like
what have we done?
And let's face it, even the farmers, and I see even Trump said, ICE have been picking up the wrong, there have been too many farm immigrants, because a lot of immigrants work on farms.
Yeah, and some are illegal.
Yes.
They're illegal.
They've been there for years.
But even if they're illegal, it doesn't really matter. It's like here.
They've all just been scooped up. And they've got no access to lawyers.
Yeah, so he's just started to realise that, oh, hang on a minute, this is hurting our production and our farming and all this. So.
Duh.
Yeah.
But like his idiot, what's his Bessner, you know, Scott Bessner, the Secretary of the Economy or whatever it is.
Yeah.
What a moron. And then there's one called Lutnick. And you could change his name and it would be rather crude.
Yeah, I think I know what you're thinking.
Yeah, we know.
He's another idiot.
But we were talking about this.
Yeah.
They're getting rid of the very people that run the restaurants, the farms, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And he's going to turf them out. Who's going to? It won't be Americans who'll be picking up those jobs because they don't pay enough.
No.
Well, and also what will happen is, let's face it, if you are, even if you're legal or illegal, and you know that there's all this thing going down, you're going to close your wallet.
Mm.
And even though you might be struggling anyway, you're thinking, if I do get kicked out of here, I'm going to need some dollars. So that affects the spending. You go,
local economies, yeah.
Yeah, they'll just go.
It all shrinks in. And even the ones who aren't affected by that all go, troubling times. We all start pulling in and closing our wallets. You know, that's
this is the mayhem he's created.
Well, and I say, so you watch No King's Days.
No King's Day.
14th of June.
It's a Monday, our time.
And they're saying they're not going to actually do it where the parade's going to be. But I wouldn't be surprised if some random ones just.
Yeah, I think there was a protest outside the White House this week.
Yeah, there was, and what do you call it? The girls who do the pink, Mehdi, she's a Jewish woman, has been very strong on pro-Palestine and trying to calm Israelis down, and Code Pink, it's called, and they did a impromptu protest about Iran yesterday outside the White House. So. Mm-hmm. But there has been other protests. Mm. All about ICE and what was going on in LA.
Because there's a lot connected to that ICE stuff, though. There was how he's sent in the National Guard and stuff like that. But that's been found to be illegal.
Yeah.
And the governor of California is suing
Newsom. Newsom. Yeah.
Because it's supposed to be the state governor supposed to call out the National Guard.
And they reckon a lot of these National Guards. Around.
Yeah, 2,000 were called up and only 300 being deployed actually used. They're just sitting around.
Yeah, that's it, yeah.
Mm. Well, it's gone calm. So I imagine America, the whole thing with Iran or Israel doing stirring the pot with Iran.
Well, they might.
That's going to change, whether that'll change the dynamics of this weekend or not, I'm not sure. Mm. It depends on how bad it gets.
And then there was that case of that senator, I think it was a California.
Oh, he got arrested, didn't he?
Well, he got manhandled, didn't he? He arrested.
And all he wanted to do was he wanted to raise a question.
Yeah. That stupid Kirsty Nome.
Yeah.
He got turfed out.
Yeah.
And the people who arrested him didn't know he was a senator.
No.
Claimed they didn't know he was a senator.
So that's added fuel to the No Kings Day. So you've got the LA riots, they've got the ICE overstepping, you've got things like the senator, so many things that are happening that this will be big for this weekend for America. The only thing that could squash it all if things gets out of hand in Iran. Because already America, straight away, instead of going, well, Iran shouldn't have done that, tut-tut, it's like, if one American gets hurt, we're in with Israel.
There were signals that they were up to no good, the Yanks.
Yeah.
Because they were pulling people back.
Yeah. From Iraq, Jordan, Saudi Arabia.
Bahrain, I think was another.
So the aftermath of that, just going back to the aftermaths of that, is lone wolf attacks. Tourists wouldn't want to be an Israeli tourist or American tourist in lots of places for a long time, especially if this goes really bad.
Mm-hmm.
How's this helping anyone?
I'm sure
helps them helping themselves.
I'm really glad I don't live in the United States.
Yeah.
Well, thank God,
Well, the United States is already suffering from tourism down numbers.
Yeah.
Because who wants to go there for
the problem they've created themselves. Well,
how many people going to Israel? How many tourists are going to Israel? Apart from a few ones going to see where the ladder's coming down. Not many.
No.
You know, so watch that. No King's Day. There's a lot to watch out for.
So that's Sunday daytime, Monday our time.
Well, it's tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, but
tomorrow our time.
It's
Monday our time. Thank you, Mick. Yeah, it is.
This thing with Iran, we're just going back to that briefly. The comment that I picked up today, and it's probably regarded as an enormous case of hypocrisy. The defence minister, Katz, quote, Iran had crossed red lines in targeting civilian areas. That's when that missile got through at Tel Aviv.
Yeah.
Well, the Zionist state crossed that red line years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, absolutely.
When
you've got a president of Israel signing artillery shells to go into Gaza,
civilian areas,
yeah. What's that about?
Yeah. One missile from Iran got through and hit some building in Tel Aviv.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, they crossed the line.
Never mind them.
Well, we get that all the time.
Double standards.
That's where October 7th was bad enough, but, you know, it was like, oh, that was a dirty attack, da-da-da, heinous crime, da-da-da, because it was a surprise. When Israel does it to Iran yesterday, it's like, oh, well, that was just a preemptive attack to defend ourselves.
Oh, it's a unilateral action supported by the United States.
It makes you vomit.
Hypocrisy.
Hypocrisy, big time. On all this doom and gloom, what have you got there, Mick?
Well, I'm almost Yeah, because it's been a hectic week, eh?
Yeah.
But we've got, the Greens call for wealth tax after rich list grows. Be no surprises.
Rich list, yeah.
Prime Minister says it's okay to celebrate success. The Green Party says the growth in wealth in New Zealand's richest is evidence for tax reform. But the Prime Minister and the Tax Act Party say a new ranking of the country's wealthiest should be celebrated for shining a light on the rewards of success, hard work and innovation.
I mean,
vomit-inducing. The list includes, this was released on Monday, the National Business Review. The list includes people or families whose worth is $100 million or more.
Yeah.
The latest rich list sees the total valuation of those profiled pushed up to $102.1 billion, up from $95.5 billion a year before.
Yeah.
So more and more wealth has been increasingly cornered by fewer people.
Yep. Problem of capitalism.
Yeah. Well, this is a comparison to what's happened in the UK. You know, the GBD at the moment is in the hands of 200 people, 200 families. Within 10 years, it'll be within 20 families.
Yep.
So the same thing's happened here. A wealthy country, but the wealth is all controlled by a small minority.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, we know what's going to happen. I mean, okay, some people will call for a wealth tax, but of course, it's not going to get much traction.
Well, the media, who owns the media?
The same very people who benefit from the system.
Who's got the shares in that? Who's got the shares in,
acting party leader Brooke Van Velden celebrated the rich list. It's really vomit inducing.
Yeah.
I wonder if she'll start celebrating when people start dying in the workplace.
Well, they don't affect her.
Yeah.
Unless she has to trip over them on the way to the restaurant.
She might lose her seat.
So we've descended to measure people by their material wealth.
Yep, that's
it. Not as people, just how much money they've got.
Doff my cap, Matt. Yeah. You've come from, New Zealand used to pride itself. We'd got away from that class system.
Yeah, but I mean, good on her for bringing this up because it needs to be discussed.
And quite in depth too.
I don't think it's going to get much traction.
I know, the media will just hide it.
Well, and the media, and also, not just the media, but...
Well, it's quite a big article. This is by Thomas Coughlin.
He's a media sycophant.
Right.
At least he's done an article.
It's in the newspaper anyway, but...
Yeah. What page, though, Mick?
That was... Page 9.
Was that after all the nonsense about the field days and people getting rich in Auckland?
Well, this is on...
National Party news.
Wednesday,
come on.
The first day of field day, so...
Yeah, but
good on for raising the issue, because it needs to be talked about. Yeah. Yeah, it's a pity that the Greens and Labour couldn't get... Because they both talked about revising the tax system.
Yeah.
Well, Labour made that error when they won that election by themselves. Yeah,
but it needs to be discussed. It's pretty the parties like Te Pāti Māori and Labour, Green, anyone who's against the evil triumvirate should be pushing for some sort of tax reform.
Working hard to get a bipartisan policy. So people going in to vote at the elections, they go, right, well, those three parties, if they get in as a government or as a coalition, this is what's going to happen with taxation. Rather than, because the trouble with often the left and even the right to a certain extent, they'll get, if they don't have it settled, they'll go in there and then someone say, well, yeah, I wouldn't mind voting for Labour, but if the Party Māori are in there, I'm not voting for Labour because they want to do something for those Māori, so I'm not going to do that,
And
that's how it's always worked, is that the fear mongering about the Greens was typical. Labour got a landslide, got majority government, people voted for Labour just so there wouldn't be a Greens and coalition.
Yeah.
Short-sighted when you think like that.
Yeah, but we need to be the alternative of tax systems and everything else needs to be definitely they can do a deal with Labour.
But unfortunately, as we say, the people who've got the most invested in the current system, they'll fight tooth and nail
What do you call it? Undeserved wealth?
Yeah.
Well, to them, of course, they work hard.
What was that line that you said off air about farmers and farm workers, Fred?
Beep.
About who actually does the work.
Like while the farmers are at the field days. And what if the Filipino workers get to go to the field days as well?
Yeah.
Does the boss pay for their ticket? When you say the boss, I mean the farm business pay for the air ticket. That's that we, the people, subsidise.
Yeah. I had to chip that one in.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see Mr. Peters is overall blinkered Treasury officials. How much time we got? Minister Winston Peters overall blinkered, as his words, Treasury officials advised him to pursue road-only Cook Strait ferries instead of the rail-enabled ferries he's favoured.
Mm.
Their advice was so blinkered that it consistently presented it as a recommended solutions cheaper, even when their own analysis showed the option we selected had the lowest overall cost and the highest economic value. And the paper showed in March, Treasury officials continued to argue for the road only, or ROPAX, as it was ready to go. It achieves the intended project completion of date of redacted. It is less complex, it is cheaper, and while achieving desired operating parameters. Finance Minister Nicola Willis had, late in 2024, proposed purchasing ROPAX ferries, but Peters disagreed and wrested control of the project from her in December.
Weren't we going to buy some boats? Didn't we have a deal to buy two big roll-on, roll-off rail and road ferries?
It was deemed too expensive.
Irex deal,
yeah.
Was it South Korea?
Yeah.
But obviously someone's been lobbying for the road-only ferry.
Who owns all the road companies?
The lobby groups.
Private families that are up in the, some of them are up in the 100 million.
Exactly.
Plus.
Surprise. Oh, yeah, someone's been lobbying hard.
And Kiwi Rail, of course, is government department, so they're not allowed to lobby like that. They can have a group that knocks on the minister's door, but they can't say, come and stay.
But then, they're expected as a government state-owned enterprise to make a profit.
Of course.
Yeah, there's always been that whiff about Treasury officials and their kind of coziness with right-wing governments.
Yeah, their agenda.
Yes, they tend to be that way.
Well, let's face it, we go back to human life. You're up there in the heights of Treasury or the heights of high government department. You're not on minimum pay.
No, you're probably earning
You're not on $40 an hour.
You're on state-adjusted pension and pay.
You probably have, a six-figure income. You probably have more than one house. You probably have a beach house or a lake house.
Yeah.
Your children probably go to private school or could do. They're in the same families.
Yeah, you know, same miscreants.
Yeah, well, the same elk.
The other thing I got was better Hamilton. This made me vomit, Jason. Better Hamilton leaders band together to contest elections. Councillor, second headline reads: Councillor Andrew Bidder, an associate set to run in this year's city council election. Apparently, seven so-called independents associated with controversial city council, Councillor Andrew Bidder, are set to join him in contesting this year's Hamilton local elections on what he calls a common sense, fiscally conservative platform. That covers a multitude of sins, doesn't it?
Isn't he part of that grouping that was threatened to hang some people?
I don't think so.
Was that the one at Baptist Church?
It was kind of about
executions and stuff like that. Yeah.
It's the platform to discuss issues and present solutions and discuss sensible candidates.
Don't
ring alarm bells. Susan's a bit of a sentence.
Did they talk about?
And then he says, "We're not yet prompting candidates. We're just talking issues." He said, "Better Hamilton was modelled on a similar name Wellington platform, which would have candidates running under Independent Together brand. Technically, we'll be a group of independent candidates supporting each other." He says they support common sense, fiscally conservative approaches.
For ratepayers? Have they mentioned that ratepayers in there, not citizens, I imagine?
There's no mention of citizens or ratepayers, but I imagine the target audience will be ratepayers.
Yeah, there's something I smell a rat there.
This gets back to what James and one of the chaps we meet on, he's been keeping close watch on Hamilton council meetings, and he's already described this. There's a faction to the right.
There's
a faction to the so-called left, but the seven individuals are Harana Henderson, Leo Liu, Mish Whaler, McDonald, Mike West, and himself.
West's definitely a right winger.
There's three others who haven't haven't declared their intentions, but
yeah.
Fiscal Conservative Hamilton Merrill candidate contender Councillor Tim McAdoo and supporter Jeff Taylor have been also been talking about like-minded potential candidates.
But okay, from a democracy point of view, they're allowed to stand and they can do what they like.
It's just the stuff they come out with.
And the real scary thing is, of course, because only 30% of the people vote and most of them are ratepayers tenancies, they get more of a chance,
On a slight, this is the mixed mind, slightly positive. Next month, your bus fares will be going up, Craig.
Yes, to $2.67 apparently per trip.
Yeah, and if you go through five zones, it goes up to $9.60 from $9.60 to $10.69, and a trip to on Te Huia from Hamilton to Auckland currently $21.60 on a B car will go up to $24.
What date's that from?
It just says. July the 1st.
Just for a bit of me-ism. So what about us oldies?
Well, I rang up, because there's no mention in the article about us oldies.
Yeah.
We're all right for the moment.
Okay.
That could change.
Okay, but we're all right.
At the moment.
I'm starting to sound like a Tory.
Yeah.
All about me.
Okay.
Yeah, okay.
On a brighter note, you were saying.
I can see that changing. There's no reason why it we've been very lucky for the last... 5 years?
Mm.
Yeah, something like that. We've been able to travel free whenever we wanted.
Whenever we like,
And this raised its ugly head again. Euthanasia report urges better palliative care. I talked about this some time ago.
Mm-hmm.
It seems the same problems are going on. That true unequal access to palliative care and weaknesses and safeguards around assisted dying are compromising the patient autonomy promised by the End of Life Choice Act. A new report into euthanasia in New Zealand has found true patient choice was being undermined by limited access to palliative care, weak safeguards and poor understanding of end-of-life matters, said Marianne Spurdle, who wrote Interrogating Choice, Euthanasia and the Illusion of Autonomy for faith-based think tank Maxim Institute.
That's a big title, isn't it?
Well, euthanasia was fully funded, but palliative care, which addressed needs such as pain management and in-home care, was not, and some areas were served by few or no palliative care specialists. So she's just concerned that people are slipping through the cracks.
Yeah.
So this hasn't gone away. And despite the assurances when Mr. Seymour brought this bill and it was passed, that all the safeguards would be in there,
the devil's in the details.
Seems like that cracks are appearing in the system.
You mentioned a certain name in there, Mick, I heard.
Spurdle?
No, the Maxim Institute.
Yeah.
That's a right-wing stink tank.
Right.
Mm.
But even so, I have to agree on this, that they've brought up this. There's some discrepancies and there's some gaps in the system.
Mm. Mind you,
on this occasion...
Good. And it's interesting that... with anything, it's gaps in the system.
Mm.
Whether it's about palliative care, whether it's about cancer treatment, whether it's about someone rocking up to A&E.
Okay, we're lucky we live in Hamilton, so we have reasonable access to palliative care if we need it. But if you're in the sticks, you've got problems.
Yeah, indeed.
Mm. So it's good that even though it might be a right-wing think tank, on this occasion I have to... commend them for bringing this to it.
There should have been a lot more thinking behind those sorts of things.
Of course.
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this about 6 months ago, I think.
Yeah, even before the election.
Mm.
Yeah, so...
The concerns that people may
But let's face it, part of to legitimise any sort of think tanks, often they come out and they might be funded by something skullduggery or, you know, what I call extreme ideological thinking.
Oh, you mean ACT?
all those foundations,
etc. Skullduggery is definitely when it comes to mind. Yeah.
But, of course, they also put out some stuff to legitimise themselves as...
So on this occasion,
So
that's me and my soapbox this week.
The thing about the council election, and you talk about better Hamilton stuff...
Yeah, I mean...
What you need to know what their motives are,
And their definition of what they think is better.
Yeah, what's going to be slashed, or are rates going to be reduced, or what?
Well, I imagine some things would be some sort of social programs will find their funding.
Police, cutting social programs, maybe some asset sales.
Move homeless people away because they're...
We know that.
Get bigger broom.
I refuse to call them streeties. It's just a
It's a terrible, word. No. They're
disadvantaged, marginalised people.
Yeah, who haven't got a roof over their heads.
No, bottom line. It's just a throwaway line. I just think it's really callous. It's just
These people don't care.
No,
you know, people like Biden.
Their definition of better, the people won't suit their people and their supporters. Won't be better for the rest of us.
We've got to think of the all, not just the few.
Well, one would hope, but I don't get the impression from the article.
These people's names that you mentioned are of the uncaring types. In that article that you've just highlighted.
Yeah. Well, they're living in the normal, I guess.
They were the sort of people who try and cut library hours or access to
interesting.
They don't use all public transport because they don't use it.
Interesting, you mentioned the word cut.
Mm.
And it says in another article here, government to slash funding for history and heritage.
Yeah. Anything's not considered...
money.
Considered science or about the economy.
Yeah, and there was...
isn't a priority.
Yeah.
It was an article I missed on the news, but Margaret actually saw it. It was to do with the National Library.
Mm-hmm.
They're having to cull all these books, I think.
They've done that before.
Yeah, this is a lot. And they can't get rid of them.
Mm.
And a lot of them will be just shredded.
Oh. Yeah, they've done this. I remember they were doing this a few years ago. They were cutting back books in the National Library.
Because what made me mention that, because in here there was Herald understands the restructure is expected to significantly impact the ministry's historians. And it was a historian who jumped up and down about these books being...
Well, yeah, because you suddenly, if you're a researcher, you suddenly find that you're... possible research materials being deleted.
Well, and I suppose they have the issues now with technology and what's on.
We've got issues about the storage too, because they take up a huge volume of space. But
I got the impression that nothing's been digitalised, or not everything's been digitalised.
Yeah.
Because it'd be a huge program to try and.
Yeah, but we know that. Yeah.
What's the time?
We've got a couple of minutes.
I got a positive.
A positive.
Yeah, I had a negative, but we will leave Northern Ireland race problems, racist thuggery for another day. Salton Sea in California. A clip. The Salton Sea's had all sorts of pollution problems.
What's it called? The salt.
It's an inland sea California.
Is it a salt water body?
Saltton. That's the name.
But is it a salt water body?
Well, it wasn't originally, but it's got very salty.
Right.
So that's one of its issues.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, suffers from pollution and evaporation and high salt content.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's shrunk. It's at present, it's 340 square miles, this lake.
But it's shrinking.
But it's shrunk from a bigger size, and it's still shrinking.
Mm-hmm.
But what this California Wildlife and a few others have done is they're actually replanting some of the areas, and that's actually bringing back some springs and water coming into wetlands, because it's actually on the Pacific Flyway. For those of you who are birders, it's on the bird migration that goes down the
west coast.
Yeah, it goes down all the way to Latin
down
America.
To Mexico and
all that places. Yeah. So they need these birds need somewhere to get something to eat and have a rest.
Mm.
So they've just opened, and there's other projects going on, but they've just opened 2,000 acres of new wetlands, which isn't a lot compared to areas.
But it's a start.
What I did learn is that they some of the areas, they actually grow ryegrass paddocks for the snow geese to get something to eat on the way down. And gradually they're doing, different organisations and government departments, et cetera, are gradually doing more and more environmental work.
Okay,
so it's a real positive.
Sorry, cut you off at the pass.
But see you next week.
But we're out of here, and you'll find Free Left Turn on Free Left Turn and podcast on Facebook and under freefm.org.nz.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.